a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Okay. Can you hear me now? All right. Well, my name is Dan Lederman. I'm State Senator Dan Lederman. I'm Assistant Majority Leader. Kind of a recap of what we've done this week in the Senate. We've had a couple of bills that have gone through, most notably yesterday, Senate Bill 113, which sought to create more fairness in the application of rules against students who get caught using drugs that are involved in high school activities, sports. That bill sought to close some loopholes because in previous years, that the way that it worked, the time span that was used to to take a student out of sports was stretched out, and it was done in a way so that if you had taken drugs or got caught with drugs during one season, it would only eliminate your participation during a time period that didn't affect your sport that you actually participated in. So what the bill does is it takes a certain time frame, and then it also eliminates the ability of that student from being able to participate in their sport for two activities, so for two events. And I think it's a fair way to do it. It was brought by Senator Rave. It came out of the Senate, and it went to is now in the will be going to the House. So that's one bill that we discussed and passed. The second bill that we spent a lot of time working on was Senate Bill 74, which is the shared parenting bill, and that's a bill that that I was a prime sponsor of, and we spent a good part of over 3 years actually working on that issue. In previous years, proponents wanted to have a rebuttable presumption of 50-50 joint physical custody, equal time sharing between mother and father if the parents are both deemed fit parents. And that just didn't fly. We had a lot of opposition to that bill in the last 3 years, mostly from the Bar Association. So this year we came through with a compromise between the Bar Association and a group of folks from Sioux Falls called the Shared Parenting Group. The Shared Parenting Group is made up of mothers, fathers, grandparents that all felt that the system in South Dakota was not adequate and that they wanted more time with their children. Currently, the default setting for custody battles in South Dakota is a split of time, usually 26 days with one parent and 4 days with the other. And I think that we can all agree that the best interest of the child isn't being served and the rights of the child isn't being served when you eliminate one parent from their life for that amount of time. With that being the problem and that being the default setting for South Dakota, we set out with a compromise bill that relied mostly on Iowa law. Iowa's law for joint physical custody has been fully vetted through two different legislative processes and then also a Supreme Court ruling, the Hansen case, which defined the factors to consider for judges. Then that was then brought back to the legislature and codified in Iowa. So we're talking about a process that's gone through a three-part, multi-branch vetting process. That was the beginning of the bill. That bill was presented by the Bar Association after many meetings with their Family Law Committee, and then it was presented to the Shared Parenting Group, who added provisions that pertain to parental alienation, which was one of the major issues that the Shared Parenting Group cared about when one parent keeps children from the other parent as some type of retribution. Another provision that was added was to address false allegations of child abuse. In many cases, one parent may falsely charge the other parent with abuse to get an upper hand in the custody battles. And most notably about the bill, in the end, it isn't retroactive. That was one of the concerns, that it would have a flood of new cases. But it does allow for custody cases that come back before the court under other circumstances for a modification proceeding to be considered by the judge using the new law. And I think that's very important because we have a lot of folks out there in the state that feel that they didn't get a fair shake the first chance. So if for some reason they have to go back before a judge for a modification proceeding, then the new law will be used, and I think that there will be a moniker of fairness there that wasn't before. The bill also puts a framework into law that just isn't there right now. South Dakota judges are using case law, and the case law that they're using to decide those custody battles is called the Furstenberg case. And the Furstenberg case actually was a case that was decided when both parents lived 300 miles apart, and it was many years ago. And one of the main arguments for the bill was that the culture of society has changed. So this is a bill that's not out there to try to change culture, but it's to react to it, that the social sciences have come full swing on, from believing that a child should be with one parent all the time to now the social science is saying that it's better to have the involvement of both parents in raising a child. So I'm excited about that bill, and it will be going over to the House, and we actually have the prime sponsor for the House sitting to my left, Representative Hoffman. Looking forward next week, just to get ahead a little bit, we'll be looking at the non-meandered waters bill next week in the Senate, and we have crossover day coming up too, so in less than 2 weeks. So I know that we'll be working hard in the Senate to get as many bills up and to the floor or out of committee or killed in committee to make sure that we hit that deadline for the crossover day. And with that, I'll thank you for giving us this time.
Morning. I'm Representative Jacqueline Sly, District 33. I'm Majority House Whip and also Chair of House Education Committee. I'll cover a few things that we've been doing in education. That's always seems to be a topic. And a lot of our time has been spent on the bills that came out of the interim study that we had this summer on school funding. And I'll just briefly go over the bills that we have. And one was to reduce the capital outlay. When we went into a recession, we made some exceptions through the state legislature for the use of capital outlay. And then that was sunsetted, and then last year we renewed it again. There are some who are very concerned about the reliance of using capital outlay funds instead of using general funds for some of the expenses. And so that bill would have gradually over the next 4 years stepped down the amount that they could use a percentage. Another bill that came out of there was looking at an extended school year and to add additional time. But we found out some information that was really revealing as we were doing the research for this and finding out that we have a wide variety of contact hours within South Dakota. So that bill was tabled today in House Ed. And then also we had one where the floor for the funding for schools would be at 2%. Now it's 3%. Or less based on the PSI, but we heard loud and clear that school districts are really concerned about not knowing for sure what they'll have. And the majority of the time, actually almost all of the time, we give them over 2%, but they never know until the door is shut here in Pure. Another bill that came out of that committee would set the per student allocation at 4805, and that would take it back to where they were before we had the cuts and the freeze. And so that bill is just trying to bring back to parity, or it wouldn't even bring back to parity, but to where they were before. So it's trying to give additional money to per student allocation. And the last bill that came out of that was having a couple of days of technology professional development for teachers. And that, too, came out of the study that there isn't enough time to do all of the things that teachers need to know, and technology changes so quickly. And so that was one of the bills that came out of that. Another bill that we just passed, and it got out of the House yesterday on consent calendar, is to allow epinephrine to be stocked and kept in a school in case there would be an emergency, an allergic reaction, say, to peanuts or a bee sting or something like that. In the past, students that have a prescription, they could have EpiPens, is what we call them, in schools. But this would allow, it's permissive, that schools could keep EpiPens on hand in case of emergency. A lot of times we're a lot of minutes away from a hospital and medical care. All schools do not have school nurses, but if you don't even have the EpiPen there, you can't use it. And sometimes minutes means the difference between life and death in those situations. Senate Bill 63 and 64 have passed out of the House Education Committee. As of this morning, both of them have passed out. Senate Bill 63 was privacy of data for students, and that will now go on to the House floor. And also Senate Bill 64 was looking at multi-state standards, that there would be a slowdown, that we wouldn't have any more of those in South Dakota for a period of time, and also to have public hearings if we're going to add on more state standards in any way. And they would have to have hearings throughout the state. Another bill that did not come through House Education, but it is important to education, and that's a state authorization reciprocity agreement called SARA, SARA, and that allows universities to be able to offer online classes without having to go into each state in order to get the credentials that you need in order to have that there. And I think that will have a huge impact on South Dakota, because we have a lot of online classes and we need to get things in place to cover what we need for distance education. And I think with that, I will stop and then leave it for questions, because I know Representative Hoffman has some things too, and I'm open to questions if you have other things later.
Thank you, Representative Sly, and good morning, everyone. I'm Charlie Hoffman. I'm a representative from District 23. This is my sixth year in the legislature, and I just want to tell you that of all the problems that we hear in Washington, the really nonpartisan work that we do as a general body in the House and the Senate here is absolutely wonderful to come back to every week, and I'll miss that. We don't have the inner fighting. We don't have the problems that you see going on. We don't have split party votes every time we come to the floor. So with that, I want to thank Senator Lederman for really taking the drive and keep pushing the ball down the road. And on Senate Bill 74, all the parents that I've talked to, all the fathers and mothers who have been, I think, not looked after in the correct interest of what's best interest for the child, but for somehow we've had guidelines that really didn't bring us to center ground, made it easy for families that got a divorce to really split further away. This bill brings all of us back together to center ground, and it's the right direction, and I'm really proud to have Senator Lederman ask me to be a part of that. So we'll do everything we can in the House to see that going through. The other bills, I'm chair of the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee, and since the Parks versus Cooper case, the Supreme Court has asked the legislature to decide what the activity above private ground, flooded private ground, is. We've come, thanks to the governor's staff, members of the Game, Fish, and Parks, and some interests of wildlife and hunting groups, we've come up with what we think is a very plausible and fair bill, which will give some outs for 40 acres or less, and put some time constraints on people going over large bodies of water, with a possibility that those people that have encumbrances upon their private land by large bodies of flooded private ground have a way to go to the commission and get some variances and keep some of those hunters or fishermen off that land. It's really going to be a change in statute. The Supreme Court asked us to do this, and we're going to end up finalizing. I think this bill will see the governor's desk. Beyond that, I brought a bill changing our term limits. I've always thought that 4 terms, 8 years, wasn't really enough time to not only learn the rules, learn how to be a positive, productive legislator, and at the same time really get to understand the issues, so that institutional knowledge after 4 terms, which is 8 years, is lost. When the public thought, when they initiated term limits, we would somehow supersede our legislators and our Washington Congress. But that can't go through the federalism. We can't go back that way. They can only come towards us with rulemaking. So if the public agrees with me, I've had it. It went through the House and Senate, the State Affairs or the House body. I can take it to the Senate, and then I'm hoping that Senator Lederman helps me take this to the people as to why moving to six terms is in the best interest of all of the legislation, all the statutes, and all the people in the state of South Dakota. It isn't self-serving. It's something I think that the people will understand. It's never been tried before. We've always tried to abolish term limits. What we're doing today is we're going to just try to extend them by only two terms. We've had raw milk wars in the state. I think that the new Secretary of Ag is as hardworking and knowledgeable about ag as any secretary we've ever had, and I'm really pleased to work with him. Secretary Lynch has a handle on all the issues. He's a hard worker. You'll never outwork him. And he's conscientious to all the sides, trying to do the right thing. We understand people want raw milk. Fine. We're not stopping it. We're just putting some simple regulations in place that you're not going to get a disease. You're not going to have dirty milk. You're going to be able to buy that milk from your neighbor, and there's going to be some requirements that you do some testing and you do some labeling of that. It's not a really big deal, and we'll come to the head on that. The other bill that we've seen, which was the most confusing bill I've seen all year, I thought the fully appropriated water bill that my friend Bob Mercer said was the most confusing bill he saw that came through the DNR and we passed out of the House. That I understood once I read the bill. But Speaker Gosch's texting bill, anti-texting bill, getting rid of all texting in the forefront of it, I think was a really nice, and that's the way he works. We came to the committee and we have a bill that goes through the whole state. It passed out of judiciary. It will impose a secondary offense on all texting. It's statewide. It supersedes all the communities. So someone driving through South Dakota doesn't have to worry about what's the law for texting in Rapid City, and it comes through Pierre, what's the law in Pierre? And it blankets everyone under the same rules as the way I think that South Dakotans and the rest of the country want us to be. The last thing I want to talk about, which is something that I was on the school board for 12 years, and I dealt with it in Eureka. I came here, and I'm still dealing with it, and I think Senator Northrup and I have had our names on a few bills before, open government, open meetings. The South Dakota High School Activity Association hasn't had to, by state law, follow those open meeting rules. They've kind of been autonomous. We want to just change that so that everything that all the other governmental agencies do in their meetings follows through, and so you can get information, you can ask them questions, that they have their records posted, and they do everything every other public meeting, school board, county commissions, we do. And I think that'll be something that I'm sure the public will appreciate. I know the press will appreciate. And at the end of the year, we're still working on that legislation. We'll have something, I believe, that the governor can sign and we'll be proud of. So with that, again, just to reiterate quickly, I really enjoy working with both sides of the political spectrum here. I enjoy working with senators who are really knowledgeable and hardworking and understand the process. And South Dakota is in good hands. That's all I can finalize and take any questions from you. Thank you.
Thank you. And as he said, at this time, we welcome questions.
All right, I guess I'll kick it off here. Nate with South Dakota Public Radio. This one's just kind of revolving a little bit around education. Representative Sly, maybe you want to answer this, or if either of you two would like to as well, you can. We've been speaking a little bit about the average student loan debt that South Dakota students have. Senator Sutton had said it was $25,400. What can be done to kind of get South? What can be done to try to lower that average debt and try to get it to be back where some of them, maybe the surrounding states, because their average debt's a little bit lower. So what can be done? Is there any conversation? Things like that. I guess just to expand on that a little bit.
Thank you for the question. I think there's not just one answer to that. I think it's multifaceted. And as we know, that costs for education have gone up, whether it's K-12 or post-secondary or technical schools or anything else, even preschool, those costs have continued to go up. I think there's a responsibility for more than just one entity. I don't think it should all come from the state. The state can take their part of it, but I think that we also have to look for ways to be efficient within our university system and our technical schools too. Funds were cut earlier, and that certainly squeezed them for a while, and now as we move forward, I think that we need to be sure that we find ways that if there's ways to cut the costs down. The other part is that I don't think that our families, as parents, are putting as much money away because they've been squeezed also. And so students come in with less money available for them. And as we look at that, we want to have education affordable in South Dakota for post-secondary. But I think that it's more than one, not just the state putting more money in. And that can be one thing that they're doing, but I think that we have to look beyond that.
Again, Nate with South Dakota Public Radio. You guys had mentioned the one piece of legislation that if a student would have an allergic reaction, that's not going to be available to them. I'm not a medical person, but epinephrine, is that what it's?
Epinephrine,
there you go.
EpiPen is the easiest way because it's a little pen that you you can just inject. It's all self-contained in one little unit, and you can just jab it and get it someplace. And part of that bill would be that they would have to receive training and also how to inject and how to administer it, and also how do you recognize when someone would really need it also.
And would that have, is there a specific amount that like one school can have over another, that type of thing, based on a ratio of students, or how does that work?
The EpiPens themselves are based on if you're an adult or you're a child, and then that's all preloaded, how much is in there, so that it would be the appropriate amount for whichever person was receiving it. There are also programs that will provide epinephrine to schools in the form of EpiPens, so that the cost is pretty great for each one, but there are programs where they can get a grant to receive those without high cost for the school district. I think that the public just sees there's a huge need to protect anyone that might have an allergic reaction, and to have them readily available far outweighs the cost.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Again, Nate with SCPB. Senator Lieberman, you had talked a little bit about the Senate Bill 113. I know Rave had spoke highly of it and saying, keeping students in activities is just another way of keeping them out of trouble. There have been some social media reports revolving around it too, saying, well, this is just going to help like the jock athletes. You know, what is the response to that? Because I know that this does involve a lot more than just the athletes. It involves kids in every kind of activity.
Thank you, Nate. It does. It's about all high school activities, and I don't think that when looking at the bill, I think it's a fair approach, because what it does is it actually takes those students out of those activities that they care most about. And the problem with the way we were doing it before, or currently doing it now, is that it leaves way too much open for kids to game the system, no pun intended. And you could, let's say, for example, be caught with marijuana while during the football season. As a football player, the current law would say, well, you got a 60-day exemption from sports or activities. Well, you start serving that in January after the football season's over, it really doesn't affect you as a football player. So you come back the next year and you have a full season of football. Well, the way this bill would work is that you would have 30 days, but then you would also have two activities. So I really do think it's a good common sense way to address the problem. You know, I struggle a little bit with taking kids out of sports for when they get in trouble. And I like the way this is set up, because it doesn't say, hey, just stay out for the whole season and be idle and go back to some of the problems that you had that got you into this situation. It says, we're going to take you out of the game, but we're going to put you back in. So I really applaud the efforts of Senator Rave for bringing this legislation. And I know we're getting close to the end, and I just want to say thank you to South Dakota Public Television, because without this format, it'd be very hard for folks like us to get the message out. And you guys provide a medium for us to talk about the issues that are important to folks. And we're a citizen legislature. So we come to this legislative session
without the means to have media production. And when you all come here with cameras and with audio equipment to record and to transmit and broadcast, it's a really great thing for the state, not just for the legislators who want to get their message out, but for the people of South Dakota, because not only can they tune in and watch programs like this, but they can go online at any time and pull the audio. And that's a Herculean effort that I just want to say thank you to public television, because without your support, we wouldn't have the transparency and the ability to get our messages to the people.
Ditto. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And seeing no further questions, I think that wraps up our conference today. So thank you all for being here, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Olivia.